Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Good morning, folks. I hope everybody's having a nice day. I've got my producer and engineer, Hank Bradshaw, with me today. We're always visiting and learning and teaching each other and educating our listeners, aren't we, Hank?
We sure are.
Well, this is a little bit like old home week because I wanted to talk about some things that have been in the news.
Yeah.
And our buddy, Dr. John Torres.
Our good buddy.
Yeah. He did no copay radio with our buddy Murph Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For years and years, but he's now moved on to bigger and better things in New York. And the other night, I'm watching my TV, and bam, there it is. World News Tonight, there's Dr. John, right? And he's talking about some ways to maybe stave off Alzheimer's. He was working through a report that Dr. Barry Peterson out of Mayo Clinic had released, and they were talking about three ways that you could maybe help yourself to stave off this disease, okay? So what they were is controlling your blood pressure. Well, now we know with our different types of dementia, vascular dementia is one of those, and that causes strokes generally. You know, if you don't have good heart pressure, blood pressure, and things like that.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, right? So your diet, you know, your blood pressure, all those kind of things could help you in the long run. So people need to pay attention to that, right? Then the other thing he was talking about was exercising 1 hour per day. So what do we need to do to exercise? We're not asking people to run a marathon.
Yeah, there's a lot of different types of exercise, different levels.
You know, take a walk, maybe lay on the floor and put your feet on the wall and just lift your abs up and down, lift your booty up and down a little bit.
Would stretching count as kind of a workout?
Stretching.
Like a yoga, you know.
Yoga, Tai Chi, anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even just going out in your yard can be a lot of exercise. Walk around and weed, but be sure to use good body mechanics so you don't hurt your back and such. But, I mean, just get out there and move. Some cardiovascular work can really help you a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. And then the last one was train your brain. And Dr. Peterson and Dr. Torres, our Dr. John, both were talking about some different online communications that are intended to help people with their memory. And they had a little criticism for that. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about what they said because I agree, okay? So they were talking about Lumosity. Lumosity is a cool little tool. It's an app you get on your phone.
I think I've played a couple of those games.
Yeah. But they're designed for speed.
Uh-huh.
They're not really designed for memory, right? So they're just trying to test where your cognitive levels are and how quickly you can react to situations. But they're not necessarily a train your brain to remember kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they wanted to tell people to beware of those because they think from a mental standpoint, a physiological standpoint, you can cause depression by thinking that you're not living up to the levels of those applications or those, mm-hmm. you know, different games that you can play. So they were trying to tell people don't worry about that. So that got me to thinking.
All right.
What can we do that would be effective that Dr. John and Dr. Peterson would appreciate? Right?
Right.
So I have a couple ideas. I want to see what you think.
All right.
So, you know, our 99.5 here at Cruisin'.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they're part of the KEZ family, Cruisin' family, our family here at Intercom.
Yeah.
Right? So they do something called a barrel of monkeys.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, in the afternoons, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So what if we took that same idea and we applied it to driving down the street?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So maybe you have to start with an A word. Automobile. Okay? Automobile ends in E. So now you have to look and find something that starts with an E because that's the last letter of that mm-hmm. word, right? So we might say evergreen. Now we have an N word,
mm-hmm.
right? And you keep going. And when you're doing that, spell the word. E-V-E-R-G-R-E-E-N, right?
Yeah.
Evergreen, like you're in a spelling bee. But practice that. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Try to think of songs.
You're focusing on what's in front of you.
Right.
There's not that much memory involved as far as, remembering all your cards or anything. You're focused on what's on hand. I think that's a great game.
And there's no speed attached to it. We could use that same mm-hmm. theory and apply it to song titles like they do on the show.
Because I know whenever I'm under pressure or time frame, I feel pressured. Feel pressured. And it's to not have that pressure would be great.
I'm telling you.
Especially if you're in a game.
Exactly.
You're trying to have fun.
Oh, I play that Lumosity game and I get done with it feeling bad about myself. Because I can't keep up with it. I can't get the score that I want. It's kind of hard. But we could even attach that Barrel of Monkeys to names of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And just try to work your brain and memory. Here's another idea I have. Call 10 people when you pick up that little computer in your hand we call a phone, and dial the number. Don't just use your contacts. Don't just pull up the name of the person and ring it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't practice numerals anymore.
I don't know anyone's phone number.
We don't add and subtract. We don't do any of that. We use computers to do that for us, calculators to tell us how big a tip should be. Try to figure out 10 or 20% without looking at your phone. Mm-hmm. Right? And could we apply that same thing to emails? When was the last time you actually just typed in somebody's email instead of just pulling it up on the list of people once you type in the first few words?
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
I see their name. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Click, that's easy.
Yeah.
But.
So I think what they were trying to say is try different ways to use your memory, but be reasonable about it. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So in our resilience theme, we're always trying to come up with ways that people can, overcome adversity and obstacles, and our memory can be part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Find a positive outcome. Do some things for yourself. I've talked before about writing a journal. I think people should write things down about their life. Try to remember what you could just sit and write in a chronological order. I don't care if you type it on a computer or handwrite it. So, but check your spelling, things like that. Right? Do you like that?
That sounds great.
Could we do that?
I
think Dr. John would be proud of us.
I think he would be too.
Here's another thing. Sing songs from beginning to end. Try to see if you can remember all the words. Just a cappella.
I could never do that to begin with, but.
How about name 2 actors from 10 different movies? Play a game with somebody in your car.
Ooh, that's a fun one. I've played that one before.
Have you?
Yeah.
I thought I just made that up.
Uh-huh.
You just popped my bubble.
Good.
Pop. There it went.
Uh-huh.
Name 10 songs from people you like. I'm in the music mode here today for some reason. Right? How about crossword puzzles or playing card games?
Crossword puzzles, that'd be a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
I like crossword puzzles.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't like that, my Words with Friends. It allows me to cheat.
I know, I do.
I know. I can go on the Word with Friends Finder and find a word that's ridiculous. And then there are words that really are words that they say aren't words. Now, how's that for messing you up with your memory?
I know. Give me the piece of paper and pen. I'm good with that one.
I'm not really good at that. Oh, anyway. Hey, for the second segment of our show, the next 9 minutes and actually into the third segment, I'm going to talk today about early middle stage and late middle stage. This week I wrote a blog that was very provocative, got a lot of answers from people talking about how they feel about being a caregiver. And what I think the issue is, they just don't have the tools, my friend Hank. So we're gonna talk a little bit about what those stages look like and how I can help them, and we'll discuss that when we come back from our break and a word from our sponsor, Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, so as promised, I want to talk a little bit about the early middle stage and early and maybe even late mid-stage, because this week on my website I have a blog, Hank, and on this blog I talked about some of the things that I hear people say, and they discount their ability to be good caregivers, which I want people to stop doing. Give themselves a break. They just need some tools. They need some strategies. And they don't understand their behavior of their loved ones. I'll give you a couple examples. A lady said her dad called her a bad name, and he would never have done that when he was well. We won't say what that word is, but another one said that her mom gets food for the cat out of the can with her fingernail instead of like a spoon or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They sit down to go to the restroom, and they forget to pull their underwear down. And people don't understand this, so they interpret it as they're not being good caregivers, which is not correct, okay? So I thought it would behoove us a little bit to talk about the early stage. What's it about? What's going on in the brain? And then give people some ideas of where they should be with this help,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So in this stage, the behaviors get super difficult, and it's mainly because families report that the loved one's following them around, and it grates on their nerves a little bit, right? They don't understand that this is caused from a shift of being autonomous with what you're doing day in and day out, right? And now you have to rely on somebody to help guide you, to cue you. I think the caregivers miss that step. They miss that that's where the person is diminished. Right? They just see them as, geez, I have a shadow now everywhere I go. They don't really think about, oh, that's why they're doing that.
They need right? direction.
They need help. They yeah. feel lost, mm-hmm. right? They're used to doing things on their own, but now they're clinging to their family member mm-hmm. to try to get them where they need to go.
It's a sign.
Oh, it's a symptom yeah. of the disease, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then their self image is diminishing, you know? I can't do anything by myself anymore. I'm not trusted to do anything by myself anymore, right? And so they need the support of people around them to help define who they are. Does that make sense?
It does.
So
yeah.
instead of them being like clingy to us and following around, really what they're trying to do is they're trying to ask us to help define their identity and keep them from just moving away. Just sliding underneath the rug. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
That does make sense. Yeah.
And part of why people get so angry as a caregiver is the tact that a person has starts to go away. They'll say whatever's on their mind. I want tomato soup for lunch. And then you make them tomato soup and they'll say something to you like, are you trying to poison me? You know. What the heck? This doesn't taste right. And you may not understand why they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of weird. And if they don't think you understand them, they will scold you. You know, why aren't you listening to me? You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you, right? We all just need to take a breath. We've talked about it over and over. Speak slowly, lower your tone of voice, all that kind of stuff, right? And so also structure at this point in time is super, super, super important. You've got to make sure that you keep positive momentum going. Channel their energy and find ways to engage them in activities that they like. If you don't, that lack of structure is really going to cause boredom, and it's not going to bode well for people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to start acting out. You're going to see unwanted behaviors. When people are bored, you know what they say, idle minds, idle hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And this is a stage where even driving becomes a huge issue. We see much more in terms of symptoms at this point. And this is where caregivers start questioning themselves. Why can't I figure this out? Why don't I understand what's going on? Why am I losing my temper? You know? Well, that's why. It's because they're not really looking at the fact that the family member is beginning to lose their grasp on reality, and they're not moving with them on that. They're just seeing that they're declining, but they don't understand, this is where I need to be more patient. This is where I need to sit and talk with them about their feelings a little bit more. Because what happens is, if they can't talk to you in an intellectual way, they start reacting with their feelings. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really, really hard. And you've got to try to help them to relate to what their surroundings are now in a little bit of a different way. Talk them through using that microwave. Allow them to help you fix dinner and simplify the steps of anything you're doing. You can still take Dad out to the garage and have him help you, you know, with maybe working on something in the garage or something like that. Just make sure that you're going slow and giving him steps that he can comprehend, right?
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is, those folks with the diagnosis are questioning who they are. Who am I now? Who am I becoming? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't stop and say, whoa, Hank, you're losing your grasp on reality and you really need my help and my love and understanding and maybe a couple of extra hugs throughout the day, or just a little extra help and cueing to help you get things done, like maybe taking a shower and putting on deodorant, brushing your teeth, reminders, gentle reminders, right?
Mm-hmm.
We, as caregivers, sometimes interpret that as they're manipulating us, you know, and they're really not. Those are those steps in a task that become incredibly and increasingly difficult. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe the first steps or the first signs are maybe the most difficult.
Oh, absolutely.
Because a lot of people don't want to, you know, maybe a little denial involved and realizing that their loved ones are,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah.
I think those first steps might be really hard. And once you get those first steps,
they really,
you know,
are.
The next ones might come a little bit easier.
And what we don't stop to think about is, do we know what that person is trying to resolve? Do we know what issue is going on in their mind that they're trying to figure out with that soup that you just made? What kind of soup is it? Why doesn't it taste right? Doesn't look right? I didn't mean to say, are you poisoning me? They're trying to resolve mm-hmm. that issue in their mind, and we're not necessarily looking at it saying that's what they're trying to do. We just think they're striking out at us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a lot of thinking through these processes so that everybody can be successful. And I just really want people to know, it's not that you're not a good caregiver. That has nothing to do with it. None of us went through, you know, a class in high school or something where they just said, oh, by the way, someday you're going to be working with somebody who has memory loss, and this is how you do it. Right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
No class
yeah.
like that.
So I want those folks to give themselves a break. We're going to take a short break, speaking of that, and we'll be right back.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so before we went to break, we were talking about the changing scope of how a person feels with this disease and maybe feeling misunderstood, and we're not getting the red flags or the signals for their unmet needs and how they need to resolve or work through an issue. And I studied a lot under a person named Naomi File, and she called this period... it's a validation theory called incontinence of feelings. When we think of incontinence, we think of the restroom kind of thing, right? But what's happening is the person with the disease will have periods of being lucid, and the clarity becomes less frequent at times, but the emotional responses to things that they're doing and thinking about and answering you with are much greater. So emotions get much higher. This is where people that are caregiving start saying, I don't think I can do this. And the person with the disease says, I don't feel understood. Okay? So blending the here and now becomes really, really difficult. It's an exceptional challenge at this point in time. Right? So the person may not recognize their home as being comfortable anymore. And they want to go back to the home they had when they were a child. It's a feeling. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean by that?
Yeah.
It may not be based in reality, but it's based in a feeling. We get that feeling sometimes from food. Food takes us back in time, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know? A smell might take us back in time. So it's the same kind of thing. That person starts basing all their decisions and their thought processes off of feelings. Right? At that point, the frontal lobe and the temporal lobes are much more impaired, and social outings become more difficult. And that's where it's going to take us a lot more thought to make sure that impulses are contained. You know, getting up and walking over and picking up a baby at a restaurant, you know, for the person with the disease, things like that. But they're not doing it on purpose. It's a feeling, right?
Yeah.
We've just got to get people to try to understand that, because the person with the disease can no longer rely on their intellect. That's gone. So everything at this point is emotional. And so things that come to their mind just pop out. They'll just say something. They're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but here it comes, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. And they wish they could take it back, but then they don't even know how to apologize for it, right? So if people understood that this is a part of the brain that's being damaged, could you show a little bit more compassion? Could you just say, ooh, when mom said that to me about my food, she really didn't mean it. It's a part of her brain that is damaged. That's mm-hmm. a temporal lobe. That's emotional, right?
Emotional reaction.
Yeah. Their attention span is much shorter. Their language and their social skills start to go away. You need to go back over details and... reorient them to where they are and where you're going and what you're doing. Lay plans out. This makes everybody a lot happier. The person will comprehend some conversations that you're having, but not all. be grateful for those times when they're lucid. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Because they're relying at this point on their coping skills to converse. And at this point, they forget that they are forgetting, so it becomes a little bit easier, and they use defense mechanisms to answer things and often will blame other people for how they're feeling. But mainly that's just because their self-esteem is damaged and they feel a little depressed and a little angry. And wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you were losing your memory, right? At this point in time, they really want to stay in their current setting. They want to stay working where they're working. They want to stay in their home. They don't want to go out and visit people because they're afraid they'll see the disease. Don't get frustrated with that. Talk them through the benefits of going out, enjoying the sun, taking a nice walk. Talk about how it will benefit them if they can participate in something as opposed to just the task of doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need that support to maintain their integrity and to help express themselves. So confabulation is an issue here. That's non-intentional lying. Okay. They use information that's just in their brain, and they may say whatever's on their mind. Like a while back, we had a lady on the show who told us that she was a stamp collector and she played piano. And her daughter told me later, and has told me a couple times, her mom never collected stamps and never played the piano. Was she lying? No. Might have been something she heard on the radio. So whatever they hear comes to mind. Again, if we sort of understand this, it will keep us from being angry, thinking that they're lying or they're manipulating us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what the caregivers can do, learn some techniques to work with irrational and disorienting behaviors. Don't think you have all the answers. Look for some answers. I think that would be extraordinarily helpful. There's some books on my website under resources.
Ooh, where that'd be great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. SummitResilienceTraining.com that they can go on. And I give my own opinion on how difficult those books are to read. Are they really academic? Or are they easy reads? Are they fun? Will you enjoy it? But those are things that could provide you with a few extra tools, right? Look at the ways you can make your home safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that person is not tripping over any clutter or anything like that. Put those dreaded Tide Pods away so they don't eat them. Those things could be tough. Sit down, talk with family, and educate them on what you're going through and what the person's going through and what you're learning on our wonderful show.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Make changes to your approach and your body language. And I did a show a while back on triggers. Try not to create triggers. Try not to antagonize, argue, demean the person in any way, right?
That's right.
Just work with them, right? And most of all, try not to say, do you remember such and such? Yeah, try not to do things like that.
Yeah.
Those kind of things can be really tough. Get in a support group. Take one of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
Join my blog. Follow me on Instagram or
That's
Facebook,
right.
Jill Lorenz. My Instagram is Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. And I'd love to have you follow me or write. Tell me what you're going through. But next week. Next week, I have Phil and Kylie Booth on here. And they are with SAGE. It's Senior Options for Functional Aging. And they work with occupational and recreational therapy. But here's the thing. They use person-centered care. They follow leaders in dementia care thought processes.
That sounds great.
And Nikki tells me out at Bellevue Heights, they are making astounding leaps in great responses with people, even with frontal temporal. Yeah, where people could not get maybe a person that's pretty far progressed in that disease and sitting in a wheelchair and not moving. They're getting the guy to respond. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's all about using different thought processes and so forth. Intentional redirection skills, intentional, meaningful activities to help somebody be successful. So for all you caregivers out there that think that you can't do it or you're not doing it right, yes, you are. And I love you. And I want you to keep at it. Be resilient. You can figure these things out. And if you get stuck, I want you to call me, 303-999-1961. I'll say that again, 303-999-1961. Or email me at jill@summitresiliencetraining.com. You are not alone. You are not alone. And every Sunday, we come here and we talk about these things and we try to work some things out.
Yeah,
we
do.
I know today was sort of a deep subject, but I really got concerned that people feel like they don't have the right tools. So you can do it.
You got the tools for them.
Yeah. So I will see you next Sunday. Keep listening, folks. I love your calls and letters. And let's keep talking, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.